darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Should Christians speak out about politics? Does the church have a role or an influence to exert in government and culture? Hi, Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be sitting in for Abe Hamilton tonight on the Hamilton Corner. It's my privilege somewhat frequently. I sit in while Abe may be traveling, and tonight is one of those nights. And I really believe that this could be one of the most significant, consequential shows that you listen to in many a day. I've got with me Bunny Pounds, and she is a voice, a leader, an author. Her book, Jesus and Politics, One Woman's Walk with God in a Mud-Slinging Profession. And she's insightful, and we always learn from her when we have the time to converse. Later on, we'll take questions as well. And maybe you want to weigh in and ask a question about this. But first of all, welcome, Bunny Pounds, and thank you for making time to be with us today.
Alex, really great to be with you. So thankful for you and this ministry and your voice of bringing the biblical worldview to every Christian in the country. We're thankful.
Well, amen. Well, listen, I want, before we get in, there's so many things I want to ask you. I want you to give your website. And folks, after you hear Bunny Pounds, you will want to access her content online and her book as well. But where may people find you?
Yeah, ChristiansEngaged.org, Christians with an S, Engaged with a D.org. That's our main ministry website, or my name, Bunny with an I, BunnyPounds.com. Has even more stuff.
When I was a youth pastor in Greensboro, North Carolina, back in the 90s, one of the things that we did, I think it was probably about 1997, we brought David Barton to Greensboro. You know, David Barton and Wall Builders.
Oh, yeah.
And it was phenomenal. And he, you know, and we've known him all these years. But my point is, when you look at the history of the country, really up until, you know, the mid-20th century, America was so overtly steeped in the Bible, biblical principles, Christians being involved, presidents that would talk about Jesus, and we were an unapologetically Christian culture and government. And then nowadays, like every week of the year, Bunny, I get reprimanded by ministers who email me, and they'll say, Alex McFarland, you're a pastor. You have no business talking about politics. You're called to preach the gospel. Stay out of this thing about government and culture and politics. How did we get this dichotomy? We were overtly Christian, and now it's almost assumed that the Christians have no right to speak about government and culture. How did this bifurcation happen, Bunny?
Well, somewhere we decided to buy into the lie, Alex, that some things are sacred and some things are secular. And, you know, it's really not the word of God. You know, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, went and talked about everything. You know, he talked to the people in the temple, but he also talked to the people in the market. I'm doing a Bible study right now on my podcast, Jesus for America, and I'm pre-recording the book of Philippians. And it just hit me, even as the Apostle Paul was talking about the women that were, you know, influential in the church of Philippi. You know, we see Lydia, we see all these merchants and business owners and et cetera. You know, it really kind of frustrates me sometimes with pastors, because they'll encourage the businessmen or women in their churches to go take Jesus to their boardrooms or public educators to take Jesus to their classrooms. But when you start talking about politics, oh, let's take Jesus to our city council or our school board or pray for our member of Congress or support a candidate, they like freak out, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, you know, we have to realize that God wants our voices in every space. My story is I was a homeschooling mom that got active 20 years ago, and I wanted to make a difference. And I saw that I could make a difference in some homeschool issues and some on the life issue and the sanctity of human life. And I got involved in party politics. Oh, horrible, muddy, you know, yucky. Nobody wants to do that, right? But I realized I could actually shift the party platforms in my state and I can make it more biblical. And then I realized I could actually support candidates that held biblical values and would push Amen. Those values if they got into office. Then I realized that I could be a staffer and a consultant and walk with members of Congress and give them wisdom and help for their life as they served in those places. Don't tell me we can't be missionaries in those places of influence. We can.
Well, we can. And very often, and I know, you know, I started out very respectfully calling and dialoguing with elected officials in my home state of North Carolina, and then senators and leaders that went to Washington. But very often, I've had congressmen and senators say, you know, you're the only constituent that called. So, Reverend McFarland, what you got? Nobody else has called me, so I will listen to you. My point being, one voice can really make a difference, can't they?
Oh, 100%. I could tell you story after story, Alex, of the man or woman that decided to go to their community college board of trustee meetings and nobody went. And then they decided to write a blog on how they were raising taxes. And then they decided to run for that board of trustees and how they shifted tax rates and how they, you know, in our city in Rowlett, Texas, one pastor who got involved with Christians Engaged started working with five or six other pastors, got all of our products, our Get Out the Vote system, our education products into five or six churches. He started putting his members from an Assembly of God church on boards and commissions in our city. Then he started running people for city council. They flipped the city council for putting more conservatives on that city council and then got rid of the DEI program in our city. So that's how one pastor, one person can make a difference. We've seen that over and over again. I can tell you stories all day long.
Wonderful. Well, you mentioned Christians Engaged. Tell about that. And I want to ask, is this in all 50 states?
Yes. So, yeah, I spent about 16 years in political consulting, working for members of Congress and candidates. A couple of my former candidates are in the cabinet now. Lee Zeldin and Sean Duffy were two of my former candidates. But I ran for Congress 2018, and then at the end of that, realized that I really felt like the Lord was telling me that he was going to awaken his church in the days ahead and to build systems to help mobilize the body of Christ. Because it's not good enough, Alex, just to talk about Christians praying and voting. We need to be reminded. You know, we're all busy. We've got kids with soccer games, and we've got church activities, and we've got businesses to run. So how can we help motivate and create a call to action for every Christian in this country that would actually help them do what they're called to do? That's what we set out to do with Christians Engage. And I believe we've done it. We actually track every election in the country and in a data secured system that's only for the body of Christ. We push people to pray every Monday for their elected officials and for America. We create videos, scripture, prayer prompts, and then we track every election and push out four texts and four emails around every special election, primary, federal election, state election, and on the local elections, we talk about them from a statewide basis. So we've got local elections happening right now in our state of Texas, and we're pushing out five-step guides to your local election and helping Christians vote in those nonpartisan elections. We believe that if Christians start doing that, we can impact our communities for the long term. And then we also build about $300,000 of on-demand video curriculum teaching Christians how to engage in civics, in running for office, local government, and biblical worldview topics. It's been fun.
Amen. Amen. Hey, by the way, folks, I've got the great privilege of being on the Hamilton Corner again tomorrow evening, and we'll have on Kathy Branzell, the president of National Day of Prayer. By the way, NDP, National Day of Prayer, is coming up on May the 1st, and I want to encourage you. They've got like 19,000 gatherings. That's so wonderful. And be a part of it. No matter where you are in America, there is an opportunity for you to be a part of National Day of Prayer. And we'll talk about that some tomorrow. But Bunny, my heart is just so thrilled to hear how God is using you. And yeah, I mean, you know, even early in America, one of the great leaders, Daniel Webster, early in American life, he basically said, why should we let the pagans chart our future? And the way he phrased it is so beautiful. He said he wanted the evangelical volume in every city, town, and hamlet. Now, that was the Bible. Because if we don't proactively share truth, moral boundaries, and yes, the gospel, then a false, pagan, worldly worldview will take control. So, Bunny, I think we have a great opportunity not only to, walk with the Lord, grow in the Lord, but help our country know who Jesus is and his principles and his word shape what our culture is like.
Yeah, we've got two things here, Alex. We really encourage people, and this is part of the reason why I wrote my book, Jesus in Politics, is we need to get every Christian praying, voting, and engaging on an ongoing basis. We absolutely need more Christian consultants. We need more Christian staffers. We need more Christians running for office. We need more Christians advocating for our values and going to their city council meetings. We need all that. But we can't cease to be Christians when we're doing that. We have to operate with boldness and courage, and we need to operate within the Sermon on the Mount as well. So part of what we're trying to do with Christians Engage is create a civic engagement ministry that will help pastors. We have a whole pastor's toolkit. We help pastors and churches do voter registration, voter mobilization, and education around the country. And we are in all 50 states. We work with our family policy councils on the ground around the country. And we also, all of our technology and stuff is all 50 states that we track. But we also have an opportunity to mentor and train and disciple young people and people that are engaging in politics on how to do this in a right fashion, how to do it with knowledge, first of all, with a prayerful heart, and to keep our integrity. Because I think you've seen this, Alex, in our movement sometimes, people create politics as an idol in their heart, or they start attacking people in a way that doesn't look too Christian. It's one thing to stand up for your values, but it's another thing to start attacking people personally. So we try to train Christians how to stand up for truth, how to speak the truth in love, but also to navigate these political minefields so that they can really make a difference.
Well, I'm so glad you say that, because, you know, a person to be loved is more important than an argument to be won, you know?
Amen.
And, you know, in the spirited discourse, all right, look, I don't like wokeness. I don't like some of the ideologies that are dry, Marxism, socialism, moral libertarianism, the LGBTQ trans agendas. But you know what? The thing is, the activists in those realms are people that are deceived. And yeah, we need to stand for truth and fight back error, but let's pray and live so that these people can come out of the darkness into the light. And we can't win them if we're cruel to them. But hey, we've got a break. Bunny Pounds, I could not be more excited. The guest that we have, Bunny Pounds, Jesus and Politics, plus your calls and questions on this edition of the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland, you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Brief break. Stay tuned. More for God and Country after this brief break.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
How tragic it is when people who say they love Jesus will see the need, see the problems, for whatever reason, pass by on the other side. Sometimes people may think, well, it's not my problem and I don't want to be a victim like he was. Well, that's a wrong perspective. Some may think, well, I'm busy, I've got other things to do. Well, it's easy to say everybody's busy. Everybody has something to do. But by the grace of God, we see where God commended the Samaritan. He too had something to do, but he took time. He made time to stop and help with compassion someone who'd been beat up and left for dead on the side of the road by the world. You and I need to make time to live a life of compassion. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. How important it is that we're faithful to do that. This is what we're made for.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program, Alex McFarland. Hey, while we're talking about making a difference and being equipped and having our voice heard, I want to remind you, please pray and attend if you're able, the Conversations That Matter, the speaker series that we start May 4th, so just a week from Sunday, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're at a wonderful theater down there. My first speaker in person, not video, I'm talking live, Dinesh D'Souza, multiple number one New York Times bestselling author, renowned filmmaker, probably one of the greatest political science voices. He served in the Reagan White House, and Dinesh will be there in person to speak, and he'll have open mic Q&A. I mean, think about that. How often do you get the opportunity to ask questions of one of the most astute? He's brilliant, but he's funny, too. He's very witty. Dinesh D'Souza, Conversations That Matter, and the website is alexmcfarland.com/conversations. We would love to see you there on Sunday night, May 4th. But with me now, also, riveting communicator, inspiring speaker, Bunny Pounds, a Jesus and Politics. And so much I want to ask you, and we will take calls in a few moments, but tell people about Christians Engaged and give that website, if you would, please, Bunny.
Yeah, we're here to help every Christian pray, vote, and engage. We have built a 50-state Get Out the Vote system, a church outreach program, a young adult program we called 1630 for 16 to 30-year-olds. We're taking 50 young people to Washington, D.C. this summer on scholarship. So if you're 18 to 30-year-olds and you feel called to government, politics, and ministry, we want to like put you in the fire in Washington, D.C. for 3.5 days. We're raising up the next generation of leaders, and we've also created 8 national products, amazing on-demand video curriculum, and we can also take these classes to each church around the country. So we are doing the stuff, Alex, and people can reach us at christiansengage.org and take the pledge to pray, vote, and engage, and you'll get in our system and see all the amazing events and different things that we have going on.
Well, and you know, as Americans, we have this incredible opportunity. Lincoln referenced it in the Gettysburg Address, and I want you to speak about this self-government. Isn't that amazing? So talk to us about the incredible God-ordained opportunity that we U.S. citizens have to participate in self-government.
Well, he set it up in the book of Genesis, Alex, that we get to regulate ourselves and govern ourselves. You know, God was after... I love that he didn't create us as robots, right? He wanted voluntary lovers, people that would choose him. And I love that our Constitution, even as we're about to celebrate our 250th year birthday of America next year, you know, our Constitution of America was built on liberty, justice, the rule of law. And those processes came out of the Bible, out of a biblical worldview. And, you know, that's, I believe, why this Constitution has lasted more than any other constitution in world history. And I believe it will last for years to come. But, you know, as individuals, we have a responsibility to choose the Lord, to govern ourselves rightly, and then to govern our families, then govern our churches. And government's real role is to step in when people are evildoers, when there is no justice, when their laws are being broken, to protect the people from themselves. And so I love that that government is a God-ordained institution, as well as the church, and as well as the family, and as well as our relationships with the Lord individually as well.
I'm so edified listening to you. And at what age did the light bulb come on? I mean, have you always just been a civic-minded Christian, or how did God birth within you this fire for God and country?
Well, I really had an experience with God when I was 13 years old and became a radical evangelist in my public high school, actually. Okay. But I went to a Christian music concert years ago. I was a senior in high school and went to this concert called Cornerstone Festival. I was actually just telling this story publicly
for the
first time.
Was that in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. And we're in this tent, right? There's all these vendors in ministry there. And this group, Operation Rescue, was there and showing these really graphic videos of what abortion is. And it was the first time I was really exposed to that as a young person. And I remember, Alex, I didn't put this in my book. I haven't really even talked about this, but I was telling this to a friend a few days ago and just reliving it. I just remember standing there at that booth and just weeping over the slaughter of babies in the womb in our nation. And that caused me, when I went to Bible college at Christ for the Nations a few years later, I joined the Moral Issues Ministry, and we would pray at abortion clinics, and we would speak to people on the streets of Dallas and share the gospel. And then, you know, I thought I was going to be a missionary to Latin America. And then all of a sudden, my best friend proposed over pancakes, and I'm marrying a pest control guy and having a pest control company. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not going to Guatemala now. I'm going to be in America. And we started having little babies. And I was trying to figure out how I could really make a difference. And there was this woman on talk radio named Laura Ingraham. Most of your listeners have probably heard of Laura, and I got addicted to listening to this crazy, funny woman named Laura Ingraham, and that produced me really wanting to make a difference in politics and government and going back to school, and the rest is history.
Amen. That is so wonderful. I want to share a scripture, and then I want your comment. And please speak to the pastors, if you would, because, you know, Bunny, back in 2016, Tony Perkins of FRC called me. He knows I'm from North Carolina, 100 counties, and I had preached in 98 of the 100 counties in North Carolina, most of the great big churches. And Tony Perkins, he said, Alex, can you help us get some voters' guide throughout North Carolina? It was a nonpartisan, just explain where the candidates were. So I was like, sure, Tony, I got this, man. I'm a North Carolina boy. They love me here, you know. So I called all these, I spent weeks calling all these pastors where I had preached in these churches, and the churches of North Carolina. And 90% of the pastors, they would go, oh, Alex, hey, now, you know, we're for you, Alex. You know, you're a hometown boy, but I don't touch politics. We're sorry, Alex. We cannot put these voters' guides. And I mean, we're talking about life, the sanctity of life, you know, the nature of marriage, the preservation of religious freedom. And I got to be honest, eventually we got the voters' guides in maybe half of the churches. But my point is, sorry to take so long to set this up. Yeah. What do you say to the pastors that offline, they'll say, oh, hey, I'm for you. I'm right there where you are, but I don't publicly go on record. And I, you know, how do we get the spiritual leaders and the churches engaged when they seem too fearful to take a public stand?
There's a couple things going on, Alex. After about 150 pastor meetings the last few years, me and my vice president, Ben Quine, have taken, I can tell you, I'm convinced more and more every day that pastors are not afraid of separation of church and state and the Johnson Amendment. Those are just paper tigers. They're not really worried about that. Yeah. What they're really worried about is one tithing member leaving their church. Yeah. And when the average church in America is under 250 people, every single one of those people sitting in those pews are absolutely important to the pastor. You understand that as a pastor.
Yeah, sure.
So we have to reach them with that understanding. We have to understand that they're terrified of the woman in their congregation that's had an abortion, that when they start talking about abortion, she's just going to get angry because she's not healed. She hasn't been delivered. Or the man that's paid for abortions that's never dealt with it, that they're going to get so convicted, but they're not going to deal with it, that they're going to just run out the door with their checkbook, right? So we have to help them take baby steps. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but I believe every pastor in this country can preach a sermon on pray, vote, and engage without splitting their church. Okay, start with that. Talk about the role of us praying for our elected officials and our government officials out of 1 Timothy 2. Then talk about the importance of loving our neighbors and electing righteous leaders and why that's important and should be part of our discipleship. Then talk about engagement, which we're all, every pastor in the country, Alex, I'm going on a rant here, but it's important. They're going to all talk about taking Jesus out and being missionaries. When you walk out Sunday morning, go be a missionary.
You're
in your
on mission
world.
For God.
You're on mission for God. But man, if you start talking about, hey, I'm going to go advocate for this biblical value, or I'm going to go run for city council, or I'm going to go take on the LGBTQ movement and Pride Month in the Chamber of Commerce, they're going to like freak out. Okay. Pastor, you can't freak out. You have to empower your people to go out there and take biblical worldview into the marketplace and into your city. That's how we get the light. And oh, by the way, people are not going to be convicted. The Holy Spirit's job description is to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If they're not bringing the truth of the Word of God, how are people even going to be convicted of their sin? That's what the role of the Holy Spirit is. So it's there's a whole bunch there, Alex, but we have to, number one, I want to tell people, love your pastor. They've got the hardest job on the planet. Walk beside them and say, I will be the one that will help you talk about these subjects and also work to mobilize people in our congregation because I know you don't have the bandwidth. Thirdly, just tell them we are going to support you and have your back if you get out there on the water and talk about prayer, voting, engagement, and issues. We will have your back and we are going to support you and make sure that everybody understands we stand with you. If we do that, we will see more pastors stand up, I believe.
Amen. You know, back in February, I was at NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, which is with AFR. We go there. It's the big gathering of broadcast ministries. And I was talking to George Barna, the Barna Research Group, very brilliant guy. And he was saying that, you know, like 82 to 85% of all parishioners want their clergy to speak about moral, social, political issues from a biblical perspective. You know, what thus saith the Lord. And it varies, but somewhere like 3 to 7% max of clergy will, from the pulpit, in that posture of authority, speak on record about moral, social, political issues. And I would say to pastors, and hey, pastor, I feel your pain. I have pastored. I am a pastor. I'm in a pulpit somewhere every week. I understand the fine line of diplomacy that you think you have to walk. But here's the thing. 80% of your people in your pews are ready and eager for you to speak on record about moral, social, political issues. And so I would say, like you said, the fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. But let's not be afraid. Let's be obedient. That's what we're called to do, isn't it?
Well, and I'll say this, Alex, Gen Z, they're leaving the church because it's not relevant to them, because pastors are not talking about anything that they need to hear from. They're worried about pornography. They're worried about transgenderism. They're worried about bullying. They're worried about suicide rates. You know, they're worried about all this stuff. And where are they listening? The good thing is there are voices arising that are pushing young people back to the Bible, that are pushing people to stand up. You know, many of our friends in the movement that they're listening to and going, oh, wow, if that guy has boldness, man, maybe I could get a little bit of boldness. But they're not hearing it from the American pulpit. And so we have to really examine our hearts and go, what are we actually building here? What are we actually doing here? You know, if we're not leading people, and this is my big message for my life, Alex, is if we're not leading people back to intimacy with Jesus, to the place of prayer, to the word of God every day, to worship, and we're not teaching them how to walk with him and hear from him, how do we expect them to be leaders in their generation or do anything? We're not going to do anything. So we have to disciple people. That's not happening in the American church very much. And then we have to push them out and support them and hold their hand when they go out there to be leaders and mess up and fail and get muddy and, you know, we've got to walk with them and be those pastors that help them in those processes.
Well, and as Billy Graham said once, courage is contagious, you know. I mean, honestly, when we are bold and truthful and biblical, it will spread. Hey, we've got a brief break. We're going to take calls. Now, here's the number, folks, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you've got a question for Bunny Pounds or myself, we would love to hear from you. Jesus and politics. Let's talk. Bunny, before this brief commercial, give a website again. Tell people where they can find you online.
Yeah, ChristiansEngage.org. On that website, take the pledge to pray, vote, and engage, and grab my book at Amazon, Jesus and Politics.
Great. Hey, we've got a brief break. Alex McFarland here, the American Family Radio Network. Your calls, your questions, and more when we come back. 888-589-8840. Let us hear from you. We're back after this.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, very honored to be sitting in with Abe Hamilton III. He's an attorney, a pastor, and a broadcaster. And I feel very privileged that he would entrust the Hamilton Corner microphone to me when he is on the road. And so we're talking with Bunny Pounds. And by the way, this show, you can listen again at AFR.net. Check out, if you would, the website and the app. You know, there's a station map to show where all of the American Family stations are. And then, of course, people around the world listen online. And maybe if you've got a friend that's kind of reticent to, as a Christian, make their voice heard, you know, this show might encourage them. But Bunny, thank you for being with us. We're going to go to some callers right now. And by the way, if you have a question, the number is 888-589-8840. But we'll begin in Kentucky. Jacob from Kentucky, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bert, I enjoy your broadcast today.
God bless you.
Exploring the Word.
Thanks. It's Alex here, actually, but thanks for listening.
I know who it is. I got you that time, didn't I?
You did. You did. But thank you. Hey, what's your question for Bunny and myself?
Hey, I'm currently unengaged in the political process, period, because I really don't see too much difference between, you know, the two parties, and the only time I ever hear anything about what God or anything in is on programs like this, and there's not very many of those, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. And what would you have to say to people in that sort of situation?
Well, I have some thoughts. Thank you for asking. Thank you for your honesty. Bunny, I kind of hear that sentiment sometimes. What would you say to this person?
Well, I'll tell you, Jesus is not on the ballot. Part of what we do with politics is choose between imperfect people. But I would challenge you that there's not a lot of difference. There is great differences between the two party platforms and the values of different candidates. And it doesn't take that far to look. We put out a biblical roadmap to the party platforms, which was 16 issues of what the Bible said on the topic, what Marxism said on the topic, and then the full platform plank for the Republican Party and the Democrat Party on those issues. And I would love for to get that to you at christiansengage.org. It's on our website, but that would be a helpful tool for you to see. But also, man, I know in 2020, I'll just give you an example from my life. Our county judge shut down our whole county in Dallas County. But right up the road, there was a county judge that feared God and didn't shut down the county in Collin County and Plano and McKinney and Frisco. And so for 3 weeks in our county, we had to suffer under a county judge that wanted to do something else. So it really matters who you elect, because they really affect your life, even on a county and city level. I'll just leave you with those thoughts.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you, Jacob. Let's go to my home state of North Carolina. Jessica from North Carolina, welcome to our conversation with Bunny Pounds. Hello, Jessica.
Hi, can you hear me?
Now we can. Thank you. What you got?
Hi. Yes, so I just want to say this is my first time listening in. So I just think it's been wonderful. But the question that I do have is, since God knows everything, he sees all our days before, he knows the numbers of hairs on our head, are people predestined for hell?
Let me jump in on this, and then Bunny, you can weigh in as well. And thank you so much, Jessica, for a great question. No, I do not believe that anyone is predestined by God for hell. Sometimes that's called double election. Throughout the Bible, God says, whosoever will may come. I think about Isaiah 55, 1 through 7, whosoever will may take of the bread of life. And Revelation 22 ends, whosoever will may come to the water of life. And Jesus said in John 3:16 to Nicodemus, whoever believes in him. So here's the thing. Jesus' death on the cross makes salvation possible, but our response to Christ makes salvation actual. And I really do think salvation is offered to all people. Now, not all accept Christ. Some reject the light they've been given. But I personally believe, Jessica, that whoever will turn to Christ in faith, who can be saved, anyone. Now, that's a long topic. And I believe me, I realize there's so much on this. Let me recommend a book from my mentor in grad school. He was a very close personal friend. He's in heaven now, Norm Geisler, G-E-I-S-L-E-R, brilliant scholar. I could do a whole program on that man's credentials. But Dr. Geisler wrote a book called Chosen But Free. What does it mean that we're chosen in Christ, yet we have free will, and we are responsible to make a choice? Chosen But Free is a great book on that subject. Thank you, Jessica. Let's go to Virginia. Mark in Virginia, where we'll be doing a youth camp in Virginia. But Mark, are you there?
I'm there. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Welcome.
Thank you. I met you before at a Truth for Youth thing I took my youngest son to, but I'm sure you don't remember. Anyways, what I found is that those churches that stand for truth have no problems filling the pews.
And that's true.
One of the things that I do with pastors is I take them to John 10, and I say, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice, but when the wolves come, the hired hands run away. So what are you, Pastor? Are you a shepherd or are you a hired hand?
Wow. Good stuff. Hey, Bunny, isn't it true the more theologically and politically conservative a church is, the more those are the churches that are growing?
Oh, it's absolutely true. You see the mainline denominations continuing to lose members as pulpits remain silent on a lot of topics. In the evangelical world, there's definitely more growth. People, especially 2020, Alex, I mean, we saw a mass exodus from certain churches and a lot of growth in some other churches because of the boldness of pastors to keep churches open or to speak the truth related to what was happening. So people are looking for that. I've seen more people switch churches in the last 5 years than I think my entire lifetime. And yeah. I challenge people, you know, you got to really look at who your shepherds are and where your tithe money is going too.
Yeah.
Are you supporting people that are actually preaching the truth and love?
Yes. George in Kentucky. George, are you there?
Hello. Hello.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. I have a question for you and Bunny.
Okay.
I want to give you my opinion of the three most important things in life, and then I would like to hear your opinion of the three most important things in life and how God applies to those three things.
Okay.
I think the three most important things are, in this order, security, health, and finance. And I would like to know what you think. I mean, this is overall out of everything, your whole life. I would like to know what you think the three most important things are and then how God applies to those.
Thank you for the question. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to throw it to Bunny too. I think the three most important things in life, number one, are salvation, that we are born again because eternity itself hangs on that. Then I think stewardship of one's life, because 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says that we are not our own, that we are responsible to the God who made us and the Savior who redeemed us. So we're to be stewards of our life. And then the final thing I believe is involvement in Christ's Great Commission. The Bible tells the church to go into all the world, Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:18-20. And let me just say, there has never been an engine that has done the most good for the most people like the United States. And I've traveled to third world countries, and when I'm deep in the interior of Africa or South America, and I find people that have food, a well, literacy, schools, hospitals, it always, it doesn't matter. Anywhere you go on the globe, when you find the betterment of the human condition, it was done by American Christian entities. So those are my three, Bunny. What do you say to the caller?
That's some good three. I was thinking as he was talking, my number one is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent, John 17. I think that's my ultimate calling in life, is to know God intimately. Number two, relationships. You know, the first and second commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourself. And then I'll piggyback on yours, Alex, of stewardship with the gospel. I'll put that in the third category, which is stewardship of our gifts and talents and our life for the propagation of the gospel and the kingdom of God, would be my three, the way I lay it out. But all of those are important. Again, loving God and loving our neighbors is really how we're working all that out in our individual lives.
And George, hear me out. I say this very respectfully and humbly. Security, health, and finance, I'm with you. Those matter. But Jesus asked the question, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? You could be healthy and wealthy but still be lost. And so the beautiful thing, C.S. Lewis once said this, grasp earth and you'll miss heaven. Plus, you'll lose earth because we're all going to die. But if you take the hand of Christ, Matthew 6:33, the Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And God knows that we desire security. We want to be healthy, and we have financial needs. The Lord knows that. And the beautiful thing that Christ promised, and I would just encourage you, on my own website, alexmcfarland.com, there's a tab, What Does God Say About My Relationship With Him? Please read that, and trust Jesus, and you'll get those other physical needs that you're thinking about as well. We've got time, I think, for one more call. Let's go to Patty from Iowa. Patty, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to our conversation with Bunny Pounds.
Thank you. I live in a town of about 11,000. There is a college here, which always makes it a little more liberal, but Iowa is basically conservative and Republican. But they announced in the paper a couple months ago that for the first time, they made it like it was a good thing, they were going to have a gay pride parade in Waverly, or LGBT pride parade. And I haven't seen anything in the paper since then of anyone doing anything to try to prevent that. And I'm not in very good health myself, so I don't always make it to church to know. But I doubt if any of the pastors, I don't know what to do about it, or if there's anything that can or should be done about it. But I hate the thought of that coming to our town.
Well, thank you for your concern. Bunny, do you have any advice for people maybe in a similar situation? Here comes the LGBTQ trans pride parades, and what can or should people do about that?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got free speech, of course, but we also should be bold in our faith. And I have a really great friend, Wade Aaron. He takes a cross and walks across the country, you know, mm-hmm. and brings the gospel into those places. And yeah, I would suggest that if it's happening and you can't do anything to stop it, go out there and love on people. Talk to them. You're going to find backslidden Christians. You're going to find wounded people. You're going to find people that need Jesus. But then, you know, have somebody in your town write an op-ed to the paper. Ask people to write letters to the city council and make your voice be heard that you might not want that next year.
Yeah. And, you know, let me say, these nervous Nelly city administrators that grant a parade permit to really 1% of the population when 98.5% are probably conservative, Christian, heterosexual, you know, we can make our voice heard, and I believe we should. Bunny Pounds, thank you for being with us tonight.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.